We have today's Czech Life when we'll be talking to Shadi Shana. He's one of the founders of the Muslims Through the Eyes of Czech Students project. It's a concise handbook and a course for secondary school students aimed at providing information about the country's Muslim community, as well as giving a brief overview of the history of Islam. Initially, the project, which also touches upon contemporary problems and the latest developments, was backed by the Education Ministry. It, however, later withdrew support. Why others did not, as well as the role played by vocal anti-Islam activists, is discussed in the second half. First, though, I asked about the survey in schools which served as a foundation for the handbook and course. Shadi Shana.
As to the content of the textbooks and the way that the teachers taught or didn't teach this subject, we found out something that's not surprising, and that's that there is very limited time to cover this issue, because in general, in Czech education, you spend a lot of time talking about prehistory and ancient civilizations, and then there is not much time to cover 20th century. And so then Islam is mentioned in connection with the Arab expansion of the 7th century, and then perhaps in connection with the Ottoman Empire and some war. So usually it's through conflict, of course, some dates of battles. And in some textbooks there were even some factual errors, but the coverage was very brief. And we found out that the teachers would be interested to know more, but they don't have the time to go into libraries and study it. And that's why we also devised this publication that's very concise, and they can find basic history of Islam with sources if they want to go into more depth. And as to the students and their perceptions, the survey concerned almost 800 students. And again, the results were that this issue is not taught so well.
There was a desire among the students to learn more. They themselves were interested.
Over 90% said that this issue is very hot, it's very topical, that they sort of get in touch with this issue almost daily somehow through internet or media, but at the same time they don't know much and they would like to know more. We offer interactive educational programs that are sort of preset usually, but we are quite flexible. If the school or the class demands some modification, then it's of course possible. But the core set consists of three activities. One is about critical reading media, the other is about veiling of women, and the last one is facts about Muslim living in the Czech Republic, the number of Muslims, etc., and in the world. But we always have feedback after the activity, and mostly the students miss some more information or debate about contemporary issues like the Islamic State, terrorism, things that they see every day in the media. They are very often surprised about about the veiling of women, for example, or some basic facts that they didn't know, that there are mosques in the Czech Republic, that of course they don't have the minaret. They are happy about the information they get, but they want, almost everyone said that there was not enough time, that they want more time to talk more about contemporary issues. And but we are limited by the time that's allocated to us by the school. So.
Is it fair to say that one aspect of this whole project, put simply, is to fight racism, to fight xenophobia, to know more about Muslim neighbors in the Czech Republic who aren't necessarily visible, who are a tiny minority? Is that part of the motivation?
I think big motivation for us was also the overreach, that it's not just about Muslims, that you rightly said that they are a very tiny minority here. Of course, we were motivated by the rising anti-Muslim attitudes, but the ambition is that by showing that every issue is not black and white, that it's a bit more complex, and by talking about how can you critically approach texts or media or information, that then the students develop this kind of critical reading to any other issues, including Roma, which I think is much more pressing here still, or the Jewish minority, for example. And some of the students also wrote us in the feedback that they would be interested in knowing more about other religions, but we come primarily from the background when we are personally interested in the Muslim world. And so we don't have the capabilities to offer also on activities on Judaism or Christianity. So we hope that other NGOs can do this.
Mm-hmm. I imagine that the overview of many different minorities or different cultures must be fairly limited within the regular curricula, that it's the Muslim world is not an exception in this respect.
I think that you have this civil education classes. I think regularly you have some coverage of the main religions, but it's really very theological or very rigid, that you learn some basic facts and the, what's the name of the holy book and how many people believe in that, and that's it. So there is really not much time. And because the Czech society, they keep religion at arm's length, and there is still this uncertainty regarding the role of religion in the history and now, and it's not much talked about. In there is still this legacy of communism, to this hostility towards any religion in general, so that also results by not having any sort of idea about Christianity, for example, then you are less perceptive to other religions, or you can't comprehend
how they fit together.
Some other aspects, why people believe and what does it mean to believe and things. So this is, I think, one more complication for the specific case of the Czech Republic, which Muslims, for example, sometimes complain that they say that people might have perhaps a more positive attitude towards us, regardless of all the horrible terrorist attacks and things. But there could be a little bit more positive attitude if there was a little bit more positive attitude towards religions in general, Christianity mm-hmm. including.
At the same time, when we talk about what's going on in the world today with terrorist organizations, with radical Islam, do your students in this program get any sense of that?
Well, as I said, we are quite flexible. So sometimes, regarding the form of the activity, so sometimes there is an activity not in the form of these three topics that I covered, but in the form of a panel discussion, or there is a Muslim guest, so they have the opportunity to actually meet Muslim in person, because most of them never met actually a Muslim person. And when you have a panel discussion, then there is more time to go into things, a bit more complicated things, contemporary things. And I value this flexibility, because it's really what the teacher said that they are interested in, or the students. And now we are also trying to move the projects beyond the schools. Also changed the whole name of the project and the logo, because there is a big demand from governmental institutions, to on the communal level, for example, magistrates, their social service departments, police, judges, they all want to know more about this issue. So it varies a lot. The content of the information that we give is different, I would say, every time.
A lot of the time, though, many observers, many people involved in online threads are perfectly happy to reduce their statements to the most basic, which is, can't be classified as anything other than xenophobia or hatred in some cases. Are Czechs intolerant, or is this a small, more visible minority which is expressing this kind of anti-Muslim or anti-Islam stance?
Well, I don't like generalizations, and in the same way, I don't want to label, or I don't want people to label Muslims in one word. I don't want to label the Czech society in one word. And I would say that most of the people who take part, for example, in the anti-Muslim demonstrations recently, which are being organized sort of on the example of, for example, Pegida in Germany, most of these people are not xenophobic or Islamophobic. This term itself, Islamophobia, is problematic, and I try to avoid it. And I think most of the people just feel some... They feel they are losing control, and then the state is losing control, that things are moving above their head very quickly. All the globalization, global finances, global movements, global ecosystem problems, that the state is losing the sovereignty and the capability to solve these problems. And people feel that they are being just swamped by something overwhelming, that they fear something is coming, some major crisis is going to happen. They don't know from which direction it comes. And I think when you add things like unemployment or some other problems, then it compounds. And I think each of the participants of such demonstration or activity has very specific personal way how he got to that point. It's a bit similar with Muslim radicalism too, because the pathways to radicalism are very individual, and you can't just say it's because of identity crisis or unemployment, because some of the people are middle class, pretty well off, so it's quite diverse.
Did the anti-Islam platform hurt this project?
Well, certainly we are a welcome target for them, because they really need things like our projects or something that they can then mobilize against, because there are limits as to mobilization just for the general fact that there are Muslims living here. It you can't have a campaign. So they have a project, and then they sort of they work as civil society organization. They even have letter campaigns to politicians. They organize groups like Angry Mothers, they call them, and these are mothers who are angry that their children are being Islamized by our project. And this group sends letters, they make posts on servers that are for mothers about children, which is of course damaging, because a mother who has no idea about the project suddenly reads some lies, then she becomes very much afraid. This group can really make your life very difficult. For example, also for the schools that ask for the projects, and that's why we don't now name these schools or other institutions. If the anti-Muslim group gets to know which school had this 90-minute project in, then they can hack their website, they can swamp their email accounts with different kinds of emails. They can even come in person in front of the school or to the school and create some troubles. So it's very unpleasant for the schools themselves. And that's why we agreed that we will not give any names.
Is that what happened with the education ministry? Is that how you explained that they withdrew basically from the project, while others like the U.S. Embassy in Prague or the Anna Lindh Foundation, they have no problems?
Pretty much. The U.S. Embassy was, I would say, maybe even under bigger pressure than the ministry. Also from the congressman from the United States, because somehow the Czech anti-Muslim group passed information that with each step the information changed its content about our project. So the lie kind of got bigger and bigger. And eventually, Russia Today America, the Russian TV, made a report how U.S. taxpayers' money is spent to Islamize Czech students, and it created concern in well, I think the congressmen and congresswomen kind of knew, you know, it's Russia Today America, but still they had to write to the embassy or to the State Department and ask them what's going on, what is this project. So the people at the embassy had to explain constantly, and they were also under the barrage of emails from the Czech groups, but they understood where is it coming from, and they understood that the project is valuable to strengthening of democracy and tolerance, and basically to elevate our society. Unlike the Czech ministry, which capitulated. I think it came directly from the minister. I think the bureaucrats are more or less innocent in that they don't mind, but it was an instruction from above. We had Senate elections where the minister was participating, and he simply didn't want to make any potential voter angry. And they were also not capable to explain why they withdrew the auspices. They called us several times to the ministry. We always explained. We gave them all the material they wanted. And then in the end, they took the auspices anyway. So that was a bit disappointing, because in the West, the tendency is that each government tries to elaborate their national anti-radicalization strategies, and they try to involve NGOs like us. They try to involve the Muslim community because they know that the community approach is best in reducing radicalism. And they spend a lot of resources and time to do things that we in the Czech Republic, the ministry, did completely opposite. Instead of participating and encouraging projects that decrease tensions in the society, they sort of contribute to these tensions, or they capitulate under the pressure of openly hateful groups.